Hello, friends. Welcome back to Destructo Discourse. Good time. This is a Dragon Ball GT rewatch podcast. I am your host, Jason, and joining me on the discourse this week is Aaron.
Hello.
And Melissa.
Hello.
The three powers combine: power, wisdom, courage, power, heart. No.
Nope. Almost.
Yep. This is episode 7. As you can tell, we are a Swiss watch.
We're so in sync, we're ready to fuse.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be the legs.
It's like a Voltron.
Yeah. Or three kids in a trench coat.
Three kids in a horrifying flesh trench coat.
Yeah. I didn't like it.
No, we'll guess.
It's one of us is popping out of the shoulder, the other is peeking out the tummy.
You know, when I look at some Megazord combinations, there's just some that I'm like, you didn't put in the work. Like, what are you? You're the pelvis? Like, what?
It's an important body part.
Yes. That keeps the legs up. They just fall over.
It holds the butt.
There's one that's, what was it? The Ninja Megazord. Who is the crane? All the crane was the head. It's just a teeny tiny little zord, and it just folds up, and it's just the head.
Aww.
Like, do you think the Pink Ranger, like, felt like people were moseying in on her territory? Because they all have to, their seats move through the robot to go into the big cockpit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you think it's just like having a bunch of people over, like guests?
I feel like you're the host. Mm-hmm. I think she has a little mini fridge in there.
Yeah, what do each of the Power Rangers keep in their mini fridges?
I don't watch enough Power Rangers to know.
Just a... Pink just has a whole case of just Red Bull. Just a very long straw.
Crazy straw.
Mm-hmm.
Who forgets their leftover lunch container in the fridge and leaves it until it's gross?
Jason, definitely.
Oh, jeez.
Red Ranger.
Ugh.
That seems like a Red Ranger thing.
Mm-hmm.
Red Rangers are definitely, at least in most of the American adaptations of Power Rangers, have been the himbos of the team.
Y'all,
by and like large.
The leader, sort of.
Yeah.
Archetype.
Yeah.
Y'all watch Samurai Flamenco?
What?
Alright. Well, anybody that has will know what I'm referencing with the Power Rangers. It's very good. Recommend it. Samurai Flamenco. You will watch it and have no idea episode to episode what it is you're watching in the best way possible.
Ooh, I love that.
I am excited just based on, like, screenshots, because I'm seeing, like, Sentai outfits and bicycle helmets.
Oh, it's a lot. Don't look too hard,
Flamenco,
because
like
it's
the dance?
Yes. It's like a surprise as this show
spoilery.
Just evolves.
Gotcha. Okay.
Ooh, this looks fun.
I promise I will look at no more Samurai Flamenco. But I, before we get into the episodes this week, as much as I do love talking about the Power Rangers and could literally do that for the duration of this podcast, I do have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Could you name a time where you came unto knowledge, you were made aware of a fact, anything in the world, at a late stage in life, what feels to be like way past the point which you feel like you should have known this to be a thing?
Mm-hmm.
I'll set the bar either low or high depending on where everyone else goes. This is embarrassing. I didn't realize narwhals were real animals until I was like 22.
That's precious.
That's forgivable. They seem like they would be not real.
Yeah, right? Okay, thank you. Because I...
What did they even do with that tooth?
For the longest time, I was like, okay, you're telling... I thought it was like such a... I thought it was like a meme animal, like some goofy, like, you know, unicorn cat kind of thing. It's like, you're telling me there's a whale with a big spiral unicorn horn swimming around? Uh-huh. Yeah, nice try. And then flash forward to me, senior year of college, going, about to shake the president's hand and get my degree. Oh, narwhals exist and are animals.
I never put together what, why a tea light is called a tea light. The little candles, you know?
Oh,
I still don't know.
Yeah, we're about to. Because, this was after college. I don't know how many years, but, my sister-in-law got me a very nice, cast iron teapot that has a little, that comes with a little, thing that it sits on, and inside of it you put a tea candle that you light, and then the teapot sits on top of it and the tea stays hot from the tea candle.
What?
Oh.
Wow.
That makes too much sense. But then it was appropriated by bath culture, by jack-o'-lantern culture. Everything else other than tea.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, that was like, all right, I gotta get a candle for this. I gotta get a tea. Wait, what?
Good.
Oh wow. This happens to me all of the time, but I always forget it after it happens. But I just remembered one. That isn't a crude anecdote from high school marching band. because that's most of my knowledge that I don't have. It's ice cream related.
Mm.
When I was a young child, I would always smile and wave at the ice cream trucks instead of like chasing after them like one is supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was told... by my parents, who didn't want me chasing after trucks, that they were music trucks. And they're just nice people who go around playing music for everybody.
Oh, precious.
Isn't that so nice?
If that were the case, I'd start shouting requests at them.
Free bird!
Free bird! Cha-cha slide! Come on, we've heard turkey in the straw every time. We get it.
Turkey in the straw. Turkey in the straw.
Give us the Macarena. Y'all ready to dive into three jam-packed episodes of extant anime Dragon Ball GT?
Yes.
I'm prepared to do just that.
Good. It is a roller coaster this week.
It's a fun romp this week.
Yeah.
I would scientifically categorize these as a romp.
A series of three romps.
Yeah. There's foibles, there's adventures.
There's danger.
There's no definitely. Bummers. Not really.
Yeah.
Other than some... human trench coats.
Well, yeah. There's some bummers.
an awkward deer interaction.
True. Awkward deer interaction feels like when people were getting handed out like code words, like at the very bottom of the basket, someone got handed awkward deer interaction. And that just has to be their name. What does ADI stand for? Don't worry about it.
It's a need to know basis.
Uh-huh. We're covering episodes 23, 24, and 25 of GT this week. We're watching in on Funimation Now and flipping in back and forth between the English and Japanese. I spent most of it in English.
I watched all English.
I watched the first in English, spot checked a little Japanese from some parts I was curious about, watched the second one in Japanese, and then the third one in English.
Y'all are a double agent. You're just flipping back and forth. Getting a full nuanced vision of the text. Episode 23 of GT is Hidden Danger.
The Japanese roughly translates to a hidden crisis, a space-wrecked ship, and mysterious boy.
Mysterious boy. So, we join our crew back on the planet's surface of M2. Giru is attempting to free the GT ship from its metallization that Rildo put on it, and it's using missiles to do that.
Giru has all kinds of... He has as many once-used powers as Goku.
Honestly. Because this works, by the way. This completely works.
It's just a... He shoots the missile, but then there's this wave that undoes all of the metallization of the forest around the ship.
Yeah, it is a plot missile if ever I've seen one. I mean, okay, we could make the argument that because he's a resident of M2, he has special powers that interact with the metal of the planet, because that's the whole gimmick of M2, right?
You could
fight General Rildo then, for sure. Because he'd just get rid of all the metal.
Yeah.
Then how can
missiles.
Rildo fight? Yeah.
So, the GT ship is in fact looks newer and shinier than it was before. And the crew pile in and fucking... Throw middle fingers at Planet M2 and fuck off towards the stars.
What does Pan say to Giru? She's like, I know it's your home, but when your home stinks, it's best to find another one.
Basically.
Something to that effect. Where it's basically the nicest shade I've ever seen. Where it's like, hey, I know your hometown sucks eggs, but, you know... I know it's important to you, but it does suck and we have to go.
Find yourself a new home.
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom for the ages.
Wisdom for the ages. The ship takes off towards the stars, but a mysterious pair of metal hands grip the ship from below as it attempts to leave orbit.
It's General Rildo!
Pan... We forgot to kill him!
Pan instantly turns on Giru after her very nice makeup with him. As Aww. Soon as the ship starts shaking,
assumes the ship is broken because he broke it.
Yeah, in the Japanese, she does call him the factory recall robot.
Oh my god,
Pan!
Pan has no chill. Trunks shouts down at Rildo, saying that Miu will dispose of him as soon as it's convenient, which makes Rildo very mad.
He's the superior metal robot mutant
guy thing.
It's the best one.
Best one on the market.
Nobody's told him about Baby.
Nope.
No.
Baby, yeah. He don't know nothing about no baby.
Beautiful time of bliss.
Boy, here we go. So the hatch opens and the crew just fire triple beams at the general, which... makes him let go of the ship, and they are allowed to escape.
Woohoo!
Fake out boss fight.
I appreciate that. Rildo lies busted up and beaten on the surface of M2, while a slithery, gross baby goops around.
How did Baby get in there?
I don't know!
He was on a ship.
Baby just kind of appears to be... As we'll find out in the next few episodes, Baby's just kind of be wherever it's convenient for him to be.
This show doesn't know where Baby comes from.
But all the show knows is not to put him in a corner.
No, just put him in any body.
Put him in any thinking man. he looms over Rildo and does an angry shriek, and then we cut away. That's the last we see of Baby for now. Trunks, aboard the ship, reminds us that we are on a Dragon Ball timer, y'all.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Those. The reason we went into space?
Hey.
Because we got a wish, right? We want to wish for eternal life?
No, we gotta make sure the Earth doesn't blow up.
Oh, Earth. Dang.
Yeah.
That was, Giru's home planet, right?
Yeah, sure. Goku is beside himself with being a whiny, hungry boy.
Such a hungry boy.
They ain't got any more food on their ship. You think they would have packed at least enough to last until, you know, the blowing up of the Earth.
They did.
Oh.
The problem is, Goku doesn't know what the phrase portion control means.
Right.
Or rationing. He's Forgot just like, oh, that. this box with the date marked on it, that just means that's just another Goku snack for Goku. And then Pan laments about poor Grandma Chi-Chi. She's gotta put up with this.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, same.
It's yeah. Plus Goku wondering, what's wrong with Chi-Chi? Is she okay?
Yeah.
Giru detects a Dragon Ball.
We need those.
We do need those, and we especially need this one because it is on a derelict craft orbiting a small sun.
I'm sure that's fine.
Yeah, what's not fine is that the craft appears to be full of holes that look like they were made from the inside.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Yeah, no red flags here.
Mm-mm.
Get that Dragon Ball. Giru warns that the crew only have 10 minutes to find this Dragon Ball before the ship gets sucked into the sun's gravity.
The gravity is only 70 times that of Earth.
Yeah.
Although, actually, no, that's... Okay, I just looked up the... comparing our sun's gravity with Earth, our sun is 28 times. What? That doesn't seem right. The sun can't just be 28 times. Hang on. I need to science here.
Is it not linear? Is it like a different kind of scale?
Okay, according... It depends on the location, but... Anyway, this is a small sun. That's all you need to know.
Oh, it's a teeny, teeny sun.
Yeah.
You think the sun would be, like, smaller than Earth?
It would be hard to stay being a sun at that size, I think.
Hmm. I don't know nothing about suns. The only sun I know anything about is Son Goku.
Ah. You.
So, the crew take the space bikes that they now have onto the ship to look for that mysterious Dragon Ball.
I like those bikes.
They're cool. Get a good look at them, because they will not be here long. they finally find the source of the Dragon Ball, or the source of the reading, and this Dragon Ball appears to be like loaded in like a power chamber device sort of thing. Like the kind of thing that you would expect like a mad scientist to like put the Chaos Emerald or whatever. Yeah, like that.
It's like either a trophy room or part of the engine.
Yeah.
Trophy engine.
For plot purposes, this ship has like an artificial atmosphere and gravity that appear to still be stable, so at this point, like, our heroes are walking around and taking off their helmets. It's very important.
Hmm.
Do y'all remember that part in the Magic School Bus where Arnold rips off his space helmet on Pluto and turns into an Iceman?
Yes.
I don't remember that, but that sounds terrible.
It was traumatizing.
It was.
I've had too many people think that I look like Arnold, and I don't know how I feel about that information.
I don't think you look like Arnold.
Thank you. Nothing against the Arnolds of the world. So, Pan grabs this Dragon Ball with no regard to traps or snares or anything. Just plucks it right out of the engine.
It's fine.
So Trunks has this line here, when he's got a look, and Goku's like, "Hey, what's up, bud?" And he's like, "Finding a Dragon Ball has never been this easy," which I don't think is accurate. Just in the history of this show, from the casual collecting of Dragon Balls that has been done before.
We have blinked and they have been found.
Yeah, but there's a little bit of an explanation. It gets a little bit better in the Japanese because he says the same thing, but follows it with, it's kind of a letdown.
Oh, I see. He wanted more adventure.
Yeah.
He wanted more intrigue.
Yeah.
Is being 10 minutes away from being incinerated by a sun not enough adventure for you?
Nope.
Yeah, honestly, Trunks, like, what is this not good enough for you? Like, we're orbiting a star and we're at risk of being yanked into its gravity at any moment, but yeah, no.
Yeah, but there's no punching.
Yeah, good point.
Well, be careful what you wish for, Trunks.
So Pan gets this feeling that there's someone aboard the ship. Like, she sees, like, a shadow or something. But the gang don't feel any energy readings.
Weird. Maybe you should just go back to the ship and move on with your life.
Like, clearly Pan has not played any of those games, like Eevee Nova or that, like, oh god. What was that one where you can, FTL, that was it. The Starship Manager tactical game, where it's like, oh, you see a derelict spaceship and you could either get resources or be attacked. Like, you just get what you need and you go.
Mm-hmm.
This is in every science fiction. Nothing good happens from, I think I see someone moving on the derelict ship with holes in it.
She doesn't have time for science fiction. That's for geeks.
It's for geeks like Giru. Giru warns that there are only 5 minutes left until this ship gives way to the sun's gravity, and Pan's just like, that's fine, don't care, goodbye everyone, and she heads off against everyone's wishes. Trunks and Goku make it back to the space bikes, and Giru finds out that he has made a miscalculation, and the crew don't have 5 minutes, they only have two.
How'd you miss that decimal point?
You're a robot.
It's hard to do math in this world.
That's fair.
Even the gods can't do math.
He did the math in metric.
Oh, he didn't convert to Imperial.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what you do in this star system.
Mm-hmm. That'll getcha.
Like, yeah, do you think his internal thing blipped over from kilometers per hour to miles per hour and he just didn't notice?
Yeah.
It's like, oh no.
Maybe there's some, like, sci-fi thing where, like, time slows down or speeds up the closer you are to, like, the gravitational pull of the sun.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Maybe it fucked with his instruments or something.
Yeah.
He's
electromagnets.
That's
solar radiation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'll fuck your instruments right up.
Right up. So Pan wanders down the hallway and gets attacked by robotic appendages belonging to a giant sentry guard bot.
Guard bot's got legs for days.
Guard bot has legs that stretch up into the ceiling and beyond.
Are those skyscrapers or are they legs? Pan asks.
He's got gams. Sleek chrome. The guard bot responds to that by launching missiles at Pan.
I was not expecting how she gets out of this.
By throwing a beam at it?
I know. What happens to the missiles?
Oh, that's right! So a bunch of missiles get fired at Pan, but at the very last minute, Goku and Trunks catch all the missiles at once at the very last minute. So they're, like, surrounding Pan. They got, like, 5 missiles bundled in their arms. They've each got, like, a missile in their teeth. It's very good.
What else do you do with missiles? You just catch them in your teeth like a dog with a frisbee.
Mm-hmm. Tasteful paperweights. Pan lobs a pot shot of ki, and the robot is downed. But it doesn't look like it was strong enough to blast these holes in the ship everyone's seeing. The ship is rumbling and shaking, and Gear detects a weak life signal down the hall.
When they're pondering about the robot and all the damage, Pan says, "You guys think too much," which I would categorically say is false.
Yeah, you guys think too much, she said to Goku, without a hint of irony.
He just assumes, since he's a grown-up, he thinks about things.
To be fair, she hasn't had a lot of experience with him as a grandfather figure, because he has been away training for like 9 years of her life. So the crew happen upon a teal boy with green hair, unconscious aboard the ship.
It's a little baby Captain Planet.
He's a little baby Captain Planet.
That's who he made me think of. Exactly.
Yeah. I will just, for the sake of simplicity, I will refer to him like the subtitles have referred to him. They call him Green Boy.
Sure.
So our heroes get Green Boy aboard the ship, and they flee as it collapses in on itself, and they're out and on the space bikes at the very last seconds. Very nick of time.
The stakes feel high here. I can believe that they would have trouble getting away from the gravity of a sun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe it. Because the sun's gravity is so overpowering that the space bikes, even at the full, like, afterburner Mach speed, are still getting sucked in. Goku just says, "We just gotta ditch these bikes."
just gotta fly,
and they fly with their ki. And I don't think I've ever seen our heroes fly in space with their ki. Now that I think about it. I guess Bardock was in space with his ki. That's really all I can come up with.
Yeah, I mean, certainly like upper atmosphere flight.
Yeah, but yeah, they're in the deep space.
Oh, also want to point out that they did have or find an extra space suit for Green Boy.
They did. Yeah.
So they didn't just carry him out into the void.
Don't you worry about Green Boy. Green Boy's fine. So Giru launches a grappling hook onto the ship.
Grappling hook is not affected by the sun's gravity.
No, I love that, because the grappling hook, it's animated beautifully as it, like, shoots out and, like, snakes around, like, the length of the ship, spirals around it, and then, like, whoom, like clamps in and tightens. And it's a very level-looking sequence in space. but I don't want to start... I'm not here to start fucking tweeting like Neil deGrasse Tyson.
No.
And just... Actually.
No, we're here to have fun.
We're here to have fun, and this next sequence is very fun.
Have
so
some
the crew...
science fiction adjacent.
Exactly. Science fantasy.
Yeah.
So, Giru and Trunks and Pan and Goku kind of make, like, a chain of monkeys, like a linked arms thing. But you know the Barrel of Monkeys game?
Yeah.
And they link up. Actually, that's probably offensive because they were Saiyans. Never mind.
Oh,
you're right. I'm sorry, Goku.
I apologize, Goku. And Trunks and Pan. Very untoward. They make a link, and Goku launches a big Kamehameha, one-armed, wonder where he learned that one from. Into the Sun, which I'm sure will have no effects on the solar system at large afterwards.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Everything's fine.
This, I'm pretty sure this isn't the first time that he has launched a full Kamehameha at a sun to give himself the boost to get away.
Didn't he blow up a sun, like, on the way to Namek?
That was the sun that he beamed into to blast his way out of. I don't know if he blew it up. He might have. It's been so long.
So long since Namek.
Blowing up a moon fucks stuff up too, so like these boys are just not good for solar systems.
Honestly, they're not the best. But they managed to get away and they're officially safe, except for poor green boy who is on life support. He's on like an oxygen mask and stuff.
I sure hope he breathes oxygen.
Yeah.
Did anybody think of that?
anyone check? Anyone see if he's got like a DNR necklace or something? DNR, do not rescue from collapsing space station orbiting a star. Kira sends out a Mayday signal looking for medical help, and it is luckily answered quickly by the people, the kind people at Planet Vidal. Not Vidal, Vidal. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Chiming in. They have medical supplies. They can help immediately. They send the coordinates. Goku asks about the food, and he gets bonked.
It's not time for that.
We've got a life to save, Goku.
And we cut to the surface of Planet Vidal, and they're apparently one hospital.
It looks like a Poke Center.
It really is.
The whole planet has a big hospital cross on it.
It does. It's just Hospital Planet.
Yeah, basically. Based off some things they say later.
Mm-hmm. So suddenly we're at a filming of Grey's Anatomy, but in space. Like, you know, he's like being rushed on a bed and people are saying medical things and beeps and boops are happening.
I love the background medical noise. I just an hour of this as ambient noise.
I bet that there is a YouTube like video or something that's just got like 8 hours of relaxing
hospital
waiting room ambience.
But I wanted this exact quality. Like, there was an exchange that I like went back and listened to several times because it tickled me so. It's a man says, "Nurse, where's that report I ordered?" Then a woman says, "Doctor, here's the report you ordered."
Have you seen my stats?
Doctor, I need 50 cc's of Synthogen stat.
Here's the test results you asked for, doctor.
Nurse, where's that chart I asked for?
Doctor, here's the chart you requested.
Okay, if you have a seat in the lobby, we'll be with you in just a minute.
It just tickles me.
It's a good time.
This was one of the things I went back and checked, and this whole sequence is silent, except the music in the Japanese version.
Wow.
Of course.
What is our anxiety as people who are dubbing to just fill the space?
I don't know. It's like it's like they're radio people. They're terrified of silence.
Yeah, yeah, it really is that. So Green Boy gets rushed into the space ICU. And we see some ambience of this waiting room with like octopus aliens and stuff. People are talking about insurance forms, which, man, that bums me out that we still haven't had universal healthcare in space.
Same. You're in the universe.
Universe! It's in the name.
Galactic universal healthcare. Yeah.
But the good news is, after a few minutes, we learn that that Green Boy is going to make a full recovery.
Hooray!
Thank goodness. Goku is not around to celebrate. He is hiding under the waiting room seats because he is terrified of shots, and doctors mean shots.
This is funny.
I'm glad that this little character trait's carried over.
Me too.
He remembers one thing about himself.
Honestly?
He remembers two things. He's hungry, and he hates shots.
Yeah.
And one of those things overrides the other. stunning.
Yeah. Overrides all programming. We cut to the Green Boy's ICU, his room, and this nurse is gawking at some readings, which are off the chart.
Off the charts!
Readings of what?
We don't know.
Not important. readings.
The Green Boy gets up, and the nurse is like, "Ooh, should be back in bed." And the Green Boy does a mysterious grin. And
evil he does face.
A little giggle.
He gets evil eyes. With soft, gentle anime boy eyes, and then he gets the evil eyes.
Mm-hmm. He goes from like Goku happy eyes to Android 17 eyes. Like round the pupil. And I don't think you're allowed to do that. I don't think you can go from happy Goku to Android 17 because that's you're making new pupils come in.
Well, it's a new character, sort of. You could argue there's two characters involved here, maybe.
That's true. We end episode 23 with a big explosion in that room, and everyone's like, "Whoa, no, what's that?" Does anyone have any final thoughts for episode 23?
Was I just being slow and not seeing where this was going? Because I was like, "Oh, I wonder why that boy that they saved is evil."
Oh, I mean, let's spoiler alert. It's baby.
Baby's here.
Baby is here.
Time for baby.
It's time for baby.
Baby time.
To be fair, this show has thrown us some curveballs.
Mm-hmm.
Last episode, we went through the whole baby power structure that started with the Power Brothers. So I can understand with this show giving us some left turns and not telegraphing them at all.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because he looks like a Dragon Quest, like a protagonist boy.
Right.
So he might have like some kind of like a whole side quest thing. Like it could be like a Jekyll and Hyde thing where he was the one who caused all this, but this is completely unrelated to baby.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time we saw baby, he was slithering out of Captain General Rildo's metal corpse.
Yeah, we wouldn't expect baby to be up here. And in fact, I have no goddamn clue how he got there. But we'll get into it.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if I was supposed to have seen this coming. Where this was going.
I mean, it was my guess.
I said, "Oh no, Captain Planet is evil."
He's like, "Polluting kicks ass, actually."
Captain Pollution. That was a thing.
Oh, that was. You're right. Episode 24 of GT is Discovering the Truth.
Japanese title roughly translates to Baby Strikes Back. Target, the Saiyan.
Let's get all that plot in there.
My anaconda don't.
It's my favorite one of the Star Wars movies.
Baby Strikes Back.
Baby Strikes Back. A cinematic masterpiece.
Mm-hmm. So we're in the burning hospital where doctors are frantically trying to hose down all the fires and explosions and stuff while the gang run up to figure out what's going on. And in the chaos, apparently, Goku snuck in after them and saved the boy.
Hooray.
And also some of the doctors.
Thank you, Son Goku.
Thank you, Son Goku.
They don't put out the fire. They just move people away from it.
Yeah.
It'll take care of itself.
Yeah, sure.
There's nothing flammable in a hospital.
No. I forget what the context of this one was, but like, Goku runs off for some reason, and Trunks and Pan are kind of just left staring at each other.
Because he doesn't want to get shot.
Oh, yeah, that was it. And it was something to the effect of, like, in Japanese, they just kind of, like, stare at each other and sigh, but in English, Trunks and Pan are like having a wager as to like whether or not Goku is running off because he's afraid of the doctor. So we're back to the boy, the Green Boy, who is recovering, he laughs in baby's voice, like a little imp, like a little scamp. And we finally catch up with Goku, who is climbing up a tree because he is a big baby and will not even come down.
Buddy, Goku.
And even if he's hungry, he won't even eat the hospital food here because it's gross and it's got sick germs.
This was the one I watched in Japanese, and he just says, like, he won't go into the hospital even for the cafeteria. It's not happening.
Not happening.
And I don't know if they say this in the English version, but they say that the hospital is the only place on the planet that has a cafeteria.
Yeah.
They say there are no restaurants.
Yeah. So Trunks says that this planet doesn't have restaurants, so the only food is in this cafeteria, which leads me to believe that this is just, as we've determined, it is just hospital planet.
Mm-hmm.
This planet has one hospital. That's it. Green Boy looks at the crew through the blinds of his hospital window. He does a cackle. And then we get the kids in a trench coat bit as baby's face pokes out from the stomach region of the boy's shirt.
Gross. There's a baby in a Captain Planet trench coat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it.
And in the dub, he fucking says, "Baby on board."
Oh, yeah. No.
It's awful.
Surprise, surprise, baby on board. Those trusting fools are making this all too easy for me.
It's the worst, and I love it. It's absolutely... I'm mad that I didn't think of it. That's why I'm mad. So baby establishes a plan. He's going to lure one of the crew alone and take possession of them to inherit their powers.
They're Saiyan power.
This
dude loves Saiyan power.
I have questions about how this works, but we can get to it later.
So Goku goes to start doing what he does best, destroying every fish on the planet.
Gotta catch them all.
Yeah, he's just like smacking them out of the water in like scores of 10 or 15.
And somebody let the robot fish. Don't let your robot fish.
Don't do that.
That's not where electronics go.
Not unless it's near Automata. Then you can let the robot fish. But a giant space catfish like shoots out of the water and does like a big chomp on Giru. And I think it's very funny.
It was a well constructed joke. It had beats, it had escalation.
Mm-hmm.
Well done.
Pan makes friends with a lovely space deer who like tries to put his muzzle up her upper crop top.
Tries to suckle.
Get fresh.
Yeah.
The green boy shows up and says that the deer thinks Pan's its mom. Mm. Which, sure.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know. Also, let's establish that these deer and the catfish, to let us know that these are alien creatures, have little piccolo antenna on them.
Oh, I didn't notice the piccolo antenna.
Yep.
Aww.
It's very good. It just lets you know that this is a space deer.
Yeah.
Space Bambi. Pan and Green Boy just do like some banter where they just joke about like, it's like, "Oh, what are you doing here? Why aren't you in bed?" It's like, "Oh, I was scared of getting shots." It's like, "Oh, just like Goku."
I think the Japanese, he just says he didn't want to be in there anymore, so he left.
You know, that's valid. I respect you. Yeah, I respect your honesty, which is what I would say if this green boy were at all honest. But he's secretly baby, who is creeping up on Pan as she's turned away from him, petting the deer. Baby's internal monologue is great because in the dub he goes, "Keep fawning over that fawn."
Oh.
Some wordplay this baby does.
Mm-hmm. And right as his hand from off frame gets to pan, right as it's about to, I guess, body snatch her, the rest of the crew show up and stop his evil deeds. But, like, not, they don't catch him or anything. They're just like, hey, guys,
hey,
what's up?
That's where you were.
Hey.
Doesn't want to take them all on at once.
Mm-mm.
I mean, kind of smart.
Yeah. The doctor shows up and urges Green Boy to get back to bed. I will also say this doctor has a very long and marvelous chin.
Yes. Is it a beard on the ends or, like, horns or just...
I thought it was horns.
I couldn't tell.
Really, it's hard to tell. It could be both.
Yeah, it could just be highly styled.
Could be hairy horns.
Ew.
Hairy horns sounds like a grungy punk singer from like the mid-2000s that we just never heard about. Yeah, hairy horns from down in Tallahassee. Hairy horns and the Green Boys.
That's a... the grungy folk band.
Oh yeah, yeah, completely. The Green Boy's getting wheeled away on the space wheelchair, and the doctor is scolding him, admonishing, we don't just go from A to D. We need B and C. B is what? For bed rest, and C is for checkup.
Oh boy.
Then you get to go outside.
Missed
but
all
that
this.
Doesn't start with a D.
You get to go to what we on this planet called outside.
I missed all this.
Yeah, this is in the dub. Baby has decided that enough is enough, and it is time to body hop. He shoots out of Green Boy in a torrent of gross silvery light and attacks the doctor, but not before the doctor shouts out, Mighty Milky Way!
So happy I'm getting that double experience right now.
Mm-hmm. So now we've got Dr. Baby. Hello, I'm Dr. Baby.
It's the sequel to Doogie Howser. Or no, it's the crossover with Boss Baby.
Ooh. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. So we cut back to the crew. Goku continues to whine that he is a hungy, hungy boy.
Oh, Goku.
Those fish did not taste good.
Yeah. Apparently the fish tasted awful.
I love that, because while they were catching the fish, I was like, this is a new planet. I really hope those fish are, like, poison or something.
Yeah.
that these kids are just like, I don't know, let's eat this.
Yeah, apparently, I mean, it's bad enough that Trunks blushes. Goku says, let's not talk about it.
All right, guys, we've determined that this fish's body... 100% Ipecac. Weird. I don't know how that works out biologically. Somehow. This apple? Actually 100% rat poison. Yes, specifically rat poison. So Goku is just fully traumatized by his fish experience. But Dr. Baby shows up and assures Goku that he wouldn't be getting a shot. We would never give a shot to a healthy person in this hospital. Please come and enjoy our food.
So no vaccines in this hospital?
No? Sure. Yeah. Yeah. According to... Yeah, Dr. Baby's anti-vax.
Oh, no.
So he convinces Goku that it's okay.
It's fine. Have some of our space food, which still includes a lot of Earth rice. And, like, it looks like there was mostly just, like shrimp stir-fry, honestly.
Yeah, there's some green vegetable-y stuff, some shrimpies.
Mm-hmm.
Something kind of curry.
Oh, did the shrimpies have little Namek antenna?
I didn't check.
That would be great.
I believe it. I forget if this was established, but Baby shows up, or Dr. Baby, rather. Excuse me. Dr. Baby. Dr. Baby arrives at the cafeteria and says, Hey Trunks, I know you mentioned you were interested in our medical technology, so I'm allowing you to take a tour of our hospital to check out the neat science-y stuff we have.
Yeah, I don't think that was established.
Okay.
It's just I think we could fill in the blanks that was like on the way to the cafeteria. Trunks was
right.
Like, Ooh, look at all the shiny buttons and screens.
I love screens. So Dr. Baby apparently knows where to go and takes Trunks to go to takes Trunks into the Super Electron Microscope.
Oh.
Which is way better than all the other microscopes.
You can move among the am I remembering right that Trunks says that these electrons are huge?
Yes, he says these electrons are huge.
That's not how electron microscopes work. Not to be well actually, but well actually.
Please, no, I request it. I humbly request a well actually from,
But if you're putting it on like a big screen, then like relatively you're seeing it huge.
But it's the electron is like it's the thing you bounce off the stuff you're looking at to look at it.
See, this is the bullet that the Japanese version dodged by Trunks just exclaiming completely, like, just, wow, look at that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Without any specifics whatsoever. And
the more detail you get into.
Yeah, there's no specifics of what this machine is, what he's looking at. It's just him being like, wow, this is amazing.
I mean, maybe super electron microscopes work differently. Maybe they use super electrons so you can look at the electrons.
Yeah.
Maybe on this planet, you can see them.
That might be it. It might be that this planet has real big electrons.
The electrons on this planet, antenna. Real thick. Thick electrons.
Thick electrons.
These protons have no damn business. Trunks is just in awe. He says that you can move among the atoms.
Sure.
He's kind of having like a whole psychedelic experience because he's like, it's like I'm looking into another universe.
Just means you've got a good user interface there.
Yeah. And while this is happening, obviously, Dr. Baby sneaking up on Trunks. Trunks turns around and immediately just gets choked out.
Well, that's what happens when you pay too much attention to science.
It's time for your deductible. Baby emerges out of, like, Doctor's shoulder. And Baby's like, haha, I'm still here. Trunks is like, no way, I thought we killed you. I thought we blasted you to pieces. And Baby says, as long as one of my cells lives, I can regenerate.
Ah, not
we've been here before.
You guys.
Not another one of these.
You guys, you can't just do this. You can't just do cell again.
It doesn't even have to be a perfect cell.
Yeah.
Single perfect cell.
It's like Baby is kind of like a combination of, like, Cell and Ginyu. Because he's just trading up bodies until he finds one with enough power.
It's kind of, yeah, but he's also absorbing the bodies.
Right.
But, I mean, not absorbing the body, he's absorbing, I don't know, their energy.
So Green Kid was dead the whole time, right? I guess? Is that what that means?
Or just, like, the last survivor? It's hard to determine. Because, like, we see Baby emerge out of Green Kid, and then Green Kid, eyes closed, unconscious, is still just rolling away on the wheelchair, and that is the last time we see him.
Because he gives him to a nurse, and is like, nurse, take this kid back to his room. And I'm wondering if they get him back to his room, and then are like, oh my god, this boy is dead.
Body found. I don't know. What happens to the hosts. Yet, at the very least.
I guess it would depend on what Baby does with them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, maybe he left Green Boy alive for stealth reasons.
Right, to be a reconnaissance. Whereas Dr. Miu, he just kind of backbursted out of him because he was done with him.
Mm-hmm.
So, Goku splats baby with a beam at the last minute. Oh, hey, did I mention Goku's here now?
Hey!
Surprise!
Surprise, Goku knew this was gonna happen this whole time.
He wasn't just eating they laid food, a he plan. Was thinking.
This show is doing a lot of boy genius detective Goku, and I'm not sure I'm here for this retcon of Goku suddenly being in on the scheme this whole time.
Was this like airing opposite Detective Conan or something? You had to try to pull in that audience?
I don't know, honestly.
I've never actually seen Detective Conan, but that's what I imagine that this is doing.
I believe that. Y'all should watch Detective Conan, by the way. It whips.
Isn't there like 5,000 episodes?
Yes.
Okay. Make a podcast about it, and then I'll watch it.
Yeah. Stay tuned. So we find out, remember how in the last episode where, like, Baby smashes Mew's head open and there was a Dragon Ball in there?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we find out that was a Dragon Ball that was digitized and stored as data in Mew's head.
Sure. You can do that?
Ew.
Apparently.
Sure.
But they also said, don't worry, that's the only one we did that to, so it's not gonna come up again.
Cool.
That's kind of how this show works.
Yeah.
This show does that a lot.
Baby tries to possess Goku and is immediately punished with so many beams. Beams from everywhere. And the gang encircle him and prepare a finishing move, a killing blow. But just then, Baby does a big explosion of anger and sends everyone back in a shockwave.
Full tantrum. Fussy Baby.
He's a fussy man.
Needs to take a nap.
Trunks emerges from this shockwave, sustaining a minor cut on his shoulder, but it's fine. We get those all the time in the show. It's no big deal.
Yeah. Just a little scuffed up, a little battle damage.
Yeah. Nothing to worry about. Oh, no!
Oh, no.
Baby does my nightmares and turns into liquid and seeps into Trunks' open wound. No. Y'all ever see the movie Life? No.
No.
It's that, but in real life with people from Earth and with very good CGI.
Ooh.
We'll just leave it at that.
I mean, I didn't like the Beatles and the Mummy, so like...
That was trauma for me. I didn't even see the movie. That was just like the part that I caught, and it literally just stood with me forever.
I think I watched that movie like a month ago and actually watched that scene for the first time ever.
Mm.
Good for you.
It's not that bad.
I haven't watched it.
I like that movie a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah. Big fan. Classic Brendan Fraser.
I love me some Brendan.
Mm-hmm.
The Brendan Fraser of Dragon Ball, aka Son Goku, prepares a Kamehameha, but Pan stops him at the last minute, saying, "No, don't do it. You'll kill Trunks." But Goku promises he's only going to mostly kill Trunks.
He's gonna do it just enough to not kill Trunks.
Beat him up just a little bit.
Just enough. Yeah.
Baby Trunks. Hey, Baby Trunks is back. How exciting.
Baby Trunks, I miss that guy.
Baby Trunks sneaks up on Goku, or zips up to him, and has a ki blast at point blank range. And he's ready to blow Goku to smithereens.
Goku's dodged things like that before, baby.
He has! I don't know where this is coming from.
Does he say in English, in the Japanese, he says, "You can't dodge this at such close range."
Yeah,
he does say
something
that.
Yeah.
Which, it's too bad he doesn't know instant transmission.
Right?
Yes, absolutely he can dodge that.
I mean, even before... there was that whole bit on Namek where, Birder and Jace were, like, doing all a bunch of, like, crazy attacks at him, and Goku was moving so fast that it looked like he wasn't moving at all, and you can only tell he was moving by looking at the ground, where his boot scuffy marks were. So, I don't know. Either way, this doesn't matter, because Trunks regains control at the last minute and redirects the beam, and I guess saves Goku.
Yeah, good job, Trunks.
And Trunks is, baby Trunks is like, what happened? And then Trunks says, I happened, baby.
So cool.
He's such a cool boy from the future, from the present. Trunks shouts and powers up to fight the demon inside him.
Just like his father.
Oh, hey! He's following the legacy. He goes Super Saiyan, and this power overload ejects Baby from his system.
It's too much. Can't handle the Saiyan.
Team too much. Yeah, Baby says that this, taking over a Saiyan requires a lot of power, and Baby is not strong enough for this. So he does, I guess, a final flash, more or less, and escapes.
He takes the, like, sunglasses off of his eyes and...
No, does he?
No, I'm thinking of Giru putting a filter over his own eyes so he can see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Giru puts, like, a, like an eclipse filter over his optical lens.
We can let them know that Baby is escaping.
Baby has escaped. So, we figure out what happened to Baby, over at the space airport, where...
So there's a hospital and an airport. That's it.
Hospital and airport. The only two methods of commerce on this planet.
That means there's no food court at the airport?
Oh god, you're
terrible,
right.
Terrible airport.
Maybe the airport's part of the hospital? They just share a cafeteria?
Could be.
So busy. That McDonald's is just... cramped. Y'all ever been to an airport McDonald's?
Like, yep.
Yeah.
No one is their best self when they're in line at an airport McDonald's at 6:30 in the morning.
No.
Mm-mm.
That's a rough planet to be on.
It's a rough planet. Planet McDonald's.
It's planet airport McDonald's.
It's a harsh land.
It's a land of necessity.
God help you if the Dragon Ball lands there.
Oh god. This two sides of bacon and an orange juice isn't what I want. But it is what I need. What about airline food? So what happens is a bunch of passengers are in line for the space plane. I guess you could call it a spaceship. But I want to call it a space plane, because that's what it is. It's a jumbo jet for interstellar travel.
It's got wings. It's a It's a plane, not a ship.
Yeah. And there's this large woman in line. I call her Space Itasam.
She does seem kinda, like Itasam.
She looked a little bit like that angry pageant mom from the Boo Saga.
But you know she's an alien, because she doesn't have a nose.
It's true. And what shows up but a wave of goo to possess Space Itasam, and now she's Baby Itasam. And she boards the plane, and no one is the wiser.
Whenever Baby takes over a new host, there's a brief moment when the gang can sense his energy.
Yes.
And they do sense his energy, but they don't know which of the people Baby has possessed.
Yes. Yeah, that, by the way, that's how Goku knew where, that the doctor was Dr. Baby. Mm-hmm. Because every time, a new host happens, there's just a pulse of energy they pick up. Which is a neat mechanic. I hope they remember it.
Yep.
Next episode.
Let's cross it matters. Our fingers.
So Trunks wonders why Baby was so obsessed with specifically taking over a Saiyan. That's becoming a through line we're encountering. This baby seems to be really keen on singing power.
I mean, that's a good question. Mm. Asking the important questions.
And we end this episode with Baby committing an atrocity, basically. And having killed slash eaten slash absorbed slash whatever everyone on the flight.
Everyone on the flight is mysteriously dead. And Baby is there.
But maybe not the pilot?
Yeah, the pilot's still announcing that there's a little bit of space turbulence.
The pilot does not know what is happening. Oh yeah, and we've established that, like, Baby likes to... He, much, again, like Cell, just absorbs energy, life, or something from people.
Yeah, because when he was giving his little evil lecture on his evil plan to the gang, he... talked about the people on the derelict spaceship. They became baby food.
Yeah. Sure did. Mm. So yeah, again, another Cell mechanic with the Ginyu. And he looks like Majin Buu, so we've kind of just got a whole smorgasbord. He is a villain designed by committee.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts for episode 24?
No.
No.
Good, then I'll cut this part out.
Do you have any final thoughts for episode 24?
I don't. I'm excited for what happens next. Because what happens next is very good.
It's a fun episode.
Episode 25, Baby's Arrival.
The Japanese title roughly translates to Big Trouble. Baby has appeared on Earth.
Oh boy, man. I wrote in my notes, this episode is a fucking oasis.
It's a breath of fresh air, almost.
Uh-huh. There's a lot of good in the world on this episode.
That good earth air.
Mm-hmm. So we're back on Earth, is where we open up, and the sun is shining, and Vegeta is in the bathroom. Getting some shaving cream out of the medicine cabinet. Meanwhile, we hear a long, protracted conversation of Goten flirting via phone.
His mother trying to get and a Bulma date. Are looking on uncomfortably.
I don't... Chi-Chi says she wants him to date a girl that's never had a boyfriend before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay...
Chi-Chi's an old-fashioned lover. She's got old-fashioned values. She's like, I don't get why you're dating all these girls. I married my first boyfriend. God. And it's like, Chi-Chi, the circumstances. The circumstances are so... Okay, doesn't matter. It's fine. It's fine. Like, when we say making the moms uncomfortable... Only Chi-Chi appears to be uncomfortable with this. Bulma's kind of like grinning over her teacup.
That's
at this.
True.
At this, she's kind of living because hey, she's had multiple boyfriends before.
Yeah. Bulma's just kind of being like the fun aunt in the scenario.
That's honestly what I love about. I love any time where Bulma gets to be like a chaotic aunt. We're cutting back and forth, and we see that Vegeta is deciding to shave his mustache.
Good for him!
What could have caused this?
Who knows? He walks around Capsule Corps trying to, like, get people to comment on it.
Hey, Vegeta, what's up? See you later, I've got a date.
Goten, just a second, huh? Notice anything different, huh?
What do you mean? Well, hey, I've really got a boogie. This is one girl you don't want to keep waiting.
Buddy.
Which, listen, I've been there. I have been there. You get a good haircut. You get a good haircut that you notice, but nobody else appears to notice.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. I've had that happen recently at work. Where there's a coworker who, like, comments whenever somebody gets a haircut. I got a haircut. I'm like waiting for him to comment. He didn't.
Aww.
Heartbreaking. What's his deal? You gotta go bigger.
I gotta.
Yeah.
Shave that head.
tasteful undercut.
Yeah, I could do that.
By the way, Chi-Chi, Goten heads out on his date. Meanwhile, Chi-Chi warns him against those city women. God, I love Chi-Chi. Chi-Chi's my kind of boomer. So, Vegeta is once again very mad that no one notices his look. Chi-Chi doesn't notice. Bulma notices. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, someone's looking handsome.
And Bulma prompts Chi-Chi, don't you notice anything different?
Don't you notice anything different?
Aw. What a good
And then
dream.
when he pouts out of the room, you can hear her call him my little Saiyan prince.
God.
So good.
Vegeta shouts, I shaved my moustache, you idiot.
Well, don't you look especially handsome today, hun?
Why, thank you.
Notice anything different about Vegeta today, Chi-Chi?
Huh.
I shaved my moustache, you idiot! Duh!
And we learn the important mustache lore about why he underwent this. It's a flashback sequence to Bulla, if you'll remember Bulla. Bulla just dunking on how her dad's mustache just makes him look like a total geek. And Vegeta like looking like stunned as if perfect cell just shot a hole through his chest.
He's a shattered man.
Look, Dad! That mustache has got to go! It makes you look like a total gee. It makes you look like a total gee. Total gee. Total gee. Total
gee. Oh, you should have seen the look on his face. My very own Saiyan prince.
Earthling women.
Like the spotlight on him, he's like, ugh!
Critical hit.
Yeah. So that's where I put my notes that this sequence is amazing. Mm-hmm. Chi-Chi and Bulma are talking it out on the balcony. And Chi-Chi kind of lays it bare. She's like, I'll be real. I don't care if the world blows up. I just want Pan to be okay. Which, I get that.
Yeah, that's sweet.
I get that. That's a mom thing.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, like, Dragon Balls.
Right.
We've had the Earth blow up before. It's fine. I turned into an egg.
It turned out okay.
It turned out fine. Chi-Chi is like, oh gosh, I hope Pan's okay. Meanwhile, we cut to Pan and Goku sneaking a Dragon Ball around the paw of a giant cartoon sleeping space kitty.
This is the weirdest cat.
Tiger ball.
It's like, yeah, if you drew a cat face on an egg and then glued some little pipe cleaner legs and paws on it, then you would have this cat.
This is like Totoro's angry cousin from Brooklyn.
Amazing.
Just mad. So Goku manages to sneak the Dragon Ball, but he trips. And you know that thing where it's one thing if you trip, it's another thing if you trip and grab something you're not supposed to grab on the way down?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We've done that before.
Yeah.
In this case, Goku trips and grabs the whisker of the cat on the way down and just boinks it clean off.
Whoops.
Wakes that cat right up.
That cat is not pleased. Y'all, don't mess with the cat's whiskers. That's an important part of their body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't like it when you mess with them.
Yeah. It's how they, like, balance and stuff.
How they know how to, what, spaces they can fit into.
Yeah, they use those as sensors. Mm-hmm. It's true. And this cat now knows that it can only fit into slightly smaller wide box canyons because it is a giant cat. But this cat is awake, this cat is angry, and this cat chases them all through the jungle, just raising hell.
This seems unnecessary.
Yep.
Because
another welcome back to these guys forgot they can fly.
Yeah, because they don't fly until they run off a cliff and make the tiger ball run off a cliff. And they've effectively just murdered this tiger.
We get a fun Looney Tunes sequence.
Yeah.
That is exactly what I put in my notes. Mm-hmm. I put fucking Looney Tunes GT over here. Because Angry Totoro does a Wile E. Coyote off a cliff. And the crew can fly. Angry Totoro cannot. And this is a very long sequence of, like, Angry Totoro looking down, looking up. Yeah. And like the crew have like have time to like laugh and wave. Oh no.
Point down.
Yeah. This is like 20 seconds of my short time on God's Earth for this sequence.
They really milked this gag for all it's worth. The only version of the gag they didn't do is hand him a book on gravity.
Oh my god. Because honestly, though, like it is a Wile E. Coyote thing. Because it's the same Chuck Jones shot of like Wile E. top down, and then we get to the ground, and there is a angry Totoro shaped divot in the ground. Like it is so exact. It's so corny.
I can only imagine this episode just ran a little short. I said, put more time in the falling gag.
My theory is that this is just a Toon planet. This is a planet where, like, Toon physics rule.
Toon world,
yeah. Maybe this is where Majin Buu comes from.
Ah, the wizard got the electrons from Toon world.
Mm-hmm.
For his spell.
So Goku and the crew get the 7-star ball, and they thankfully did the counting for me, because they said that means that they only have 2 to go.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Awesome.
The Earth will be saved in no time.
No time at all. So meanwhile on Earth, we cut to a building exploding.
Ah, beans.
Oops.
Yeah. From the rubble, a muscly dude with blonde hair and a tan emerges, and he has glowy red eyes.
It's just Arnold Schwarzenegger, isn't it?
It is.
It reminded me of Guile from Street Fighter.
I was thinking that, like, it looked like a fighting game character.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, this is Baby.
Oh, Baby.
It's
Baby is here.
Baby.
Muscle Baby. Muscle Baby walks out of the rubble, and I fucking love this. He walks into a bank, which is apparently right in the middle of its scheduled 2 p.m. daily robbery.
This is just how these guys withdraw their regular checks. They just don't know how to do a withdrawal.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're stealing just from their checking. A bank in Dragon World cannot go 4 seconds without someone bringing a gun to it and trying to hold it up. It cannot happen. I'm sorry.
When the guy walks in, he says, "Are you here to make a deposit or are you here to die?"
What if he said deposit?
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
It was more money for them to steal.
You think they wait for the deposit to go through before they rob the bank?
You gotta. You get every last penny you can.
Yeah. No, Muscle Baby barges into the bank and grabs the robber by the throat and says, "Tell me where the Saiyans live." Nobody in this bank knows what any of that means. So Muscle Baby leaves, and the bank explodes.
This shot, I was waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for the bank to explode, and finally it did.
It took a minute, didn't it?
Because he was walking. He walked out of it, he was walking away from it, but it was a far shot. A perfect explosion shot.
Yeah.
And it was still, and we were just watching this man walk away from a bank.
Very avant-garde. Ooh, so this is a fun side quest. We get to see Goten go on his date.
Side quest indeed.
Did we get a name for this girl?
Yes. In the dub, her name is Valise.
Valise.
In the sub, her name is Palace.
Both good names.
Isn't that fun?
Palace.
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 I need to
like
go.
Like the building or palace?
Yeah.
Like the... Oh, okay.
Like the... Yeah.
Like what a princess lives in.
Oh. Okay. I don't necessarily get this, but let's... According to the wiki, Valise's Japanese name, Palace, is a pun on Goten, a Japanese word for palace that is... Goten apparently is also a Japanese word for palace that is a homonym for her boyfriend's name. What?
Huh?
I don't know how that works.
Wait, what?
Okay. So apparently, if you write Goten a different way in Japanese, it spells palace.
Oh, like with the kanji. Okay.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
kanji, you can pronounce it different ways.
Yeah, it's okay. A kanji pun.
Okay.
Yeah. But whether you're on a date with Valise or Palace, neither of them know what ice cream is. There's like this whole back and forth about like, what's this? Do I need a spoon for this? Won't my hands get dirty eating this ice cream cone? How do you eat this ice cream cone? Mm. Goten's like, you hold the cone and you lick the ice cream. Is this what Chi-Chi meant when warning Goten about city women?
City
they don't
women
know what ice cream is.
Don't know what food is.
Not like us country gals.
Us country gals love a soft serve. Which, by the way, this ice cream looks very good and it makes me very hungry. Like it's like a good, you know, Planet Airport McDonald's swirly cone, like one of those when their ice cream machine isn't down.
And it looks like it's really soft, like that perfect, not melting but not hard and frozen either.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love me a soft serve. With that specific texture.
Well, Chi-Chi probably meant that city women know too much about ice cream, because we learn that Valise has never been on a date before. So nobody's bought her ice cream.
But it on the phone, doesn't Goten say he hadn't asked her out because she had been with other boyfriends?
Yes.
She's had boyfriends, but was not allowed to go on dates with them.
Very bad boyfriends.
Well, I think it was a matter of, like, I think her parents were so restrictive. This is my reading. Is her parents were so restrictive that they just demanded that the boyfriends come to the house and the date is just in the house.
Huh.
That's not weird.
No, it's fine. That's perfectly healthy and normal.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to assume, like, Valise's parents are, like, loaded or something, and they've just got like a, big like theater.
Ooh, one of those little private theaters with their own popcorn machine.
But then, if Valise and the boyfriend start getting too close, like the alarm klaxons start going off. It goes, "Make room for the Holy Spirit! Make room for the Holy Spirit!" and a ruler pops up between them. Muscle Baby continues to terrorize the city. There's a massive explosion, and Valise thinks that, maybe it's a festival.
Sure, honey.
That is why there's all the screaming and the people running away.
Yeah, that's normal.
Like, it's like the running of the bulls.
Yeah, we have those in Dragon World. It's at this moment that, like, Goten's just very like, oh, that's what I like about you. You're always, like, idealistic, and you're always looking at the bright side. And you've got an innocent charm. The Goten is very, very swayed by that.
I mean, that's sweet.
Yeah. I appreciate that. It's good to have a positive attitude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A pure heart.
Even during a Dragon World explosion festival.
I bet Felice could ride the Nimbus.
Oh yeah, aww. Completely.
Yeah.
A muscle baby continues to cause devastation and destruction. But look up there! It's a bird! It's a plane!
It's Mr. Satan! He has a whole...
He shouts from the rooftops, he's here to save the day.
He will stop any evildoers planting the seeds of violence in his city.
He leaps daringly from the rooftop and immediately rolls his ankle.
Getting too old for this.
I get it.
Yeah. Happens to the best of us, Satan. He covers up his foible, saying, "Aw, man, what a dirty trick for you to kick me like that as I was landing at lightning speed."
The crowd, they're suspicious at first, but then they buy it.
Yeah.
These guys are just on a whole other level.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they can fly or do beams.
Ooh, those light powers.
Those light tricks. Baby blasts a mass... Sorry, I just laughed at the phrase baby blasts. Baby blasts a massive crater in the street in front of Mr. Satan, as a warning shot. Just when things look grim, oh look, it's Goten!
Hey! There's one of the Saiyans right there, ready to help fight.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Satan tries to get him to kick Baby's ass by saying, "Ah, my disciple's here to finish you off, scumbag."
Goten looks around for said disciple.
Yeah.
You meant me. Oh. I love this because I love the idea that Goten doesn't really care about saving the world. He just wants to go on dates.
Yeah. He just wants to live his life. Gohan gets to be a scholar.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a big shadow to live under, being mm-hmm. being the son of Goku.
Mm-hmm. The son of Sun.
Mm-hmm. The Sun.
Baby approaches Valise with intent to do harm, but then gets rider kicked by Goten at the last minute. Goten is such a gentleman, because the first thing he says when he goes up to Valise is like, "Are you okay? Did he say anything improper to you?"
Aw.
Goten.
He's got a chivalry.
Mm-hmm.
Valise is like, "No, he was just asking where the Saiyans were." And Goten's like, "Wait a minute.
I know the answer to that.
I don't know why he knows what that is.
I am that. It's me.
So from the crowd emerges a stranger with red eyes.
Another one,
as well as a... I wrote down the notes that it looks like he's a Daltaki accountant.
Mm-hmm. He's got that.
Like he got
that haircut
and the face, but he's got like ledgers in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And these are baby possessees, but it looks like they're both possessed by baby at the same time. Which
is that a thing baby can do now?
I'm gonna need these mechanics laid out for me.
Yeah, I don't know if this will come up later, but yep. For the time, as far as we know, baby can do multiple possessions. Maybe he splits up his cells or something, I don't know.
Maybe because these guys aren't as strong energy-wise, he can split between them? Maybe?
Maybe. That's believable.
I'll take it. So Goten downs the assailants with just a few punches, and they're all tied up, Satan naturally taking all the credit.
He gets Valise out of the way by tossing her into the air and then catching her again.
Mm-hmm. He's such a gentleman, too. He's like, Valise is like, "This is the first time a boy has ever held me." And Goten's just like, sorry, I hope I'm not being too untoward.
What a gentleman.
This is how his mama raised him. I appreciate this.
Mm-hmm.
So in the aftermath, a random onlooker grunts and topples over, apparently just overcome with the baby energy.
It gets really too much sweaty. Baby.
Mm-hmm. And like his glasses like crack or something. His sunglasses like break one of the lenses. So this baby, I think he's just got like a turtleneck. That's the only characteristic I can think of. He knocks Goten over with a punch and then does what I wrote down in my notes as a very creepy laugh scream as he topples over and emerges from his host in a writhing, glowy mass.
Baby's got a new outfit.
Baby's got new duds. He's like, a little bit taller. He's kind of got these sort of gold accents on his, like, neck and shoulders. He's has a visible six-pack.
It's like a teen baby now.
Teen baby.
Aw. They grow up so fast.
They do. He says, "You're a Saiyan, aren't you?" And he demands Goten's body.
I'm using that.
We end the episode with Baby doing a powerful explosion, ripping up the city with his energy as he and Goten square off in the sky. Any final thoughts for episode 25 or any of the episodes this week?
R.I.P. everybody in that city.
We just got finished rebuilding it. This is probably like the third East City or something.
Oh. Do you think they keep track?
They've gotta, right?
That museum's gotta be wild.
Always with the new wings.
Artifacts from every major destruction event.
I mean, this is normally where I would go into like a Hail Satan, but I think we're writing that right now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this Hercules Satan definitely has a carefully curated museum dedicated to exactly how he overcame every threat to this earth that has ever occurred, just to make sure that his story is straight.
He visits it frequently to make sure.
Yeah.
He's triple checking all of the plaques. He's got like a bit of rubble from the Cell games. He's got like some of Boo's favorite candy. Boo may in fact be an exhibit in the museum. Oh wait, no. The memory is of Boo is gone. That's
oh,
right.
Right.
That's right. Everyone's fine with Boo. Boo's just a big pink weirdo now.
Yay.
Wait, have we seen him?
Mm-mm.
You're right. What's he up to?
What's Boo up to? Oh, I want Boo to fight Baby.
Boo, Baby Boo. I would love that. I'll turn into liquid and go inside you. Nice try, dumbass. I already do that.
They just turn into liquid and make a terrible infinity loop of...
I was going to say, infinity sign. Boo's busy hanging out with B.
Aww,
oh,
about
starting
B.
Starting a Let's Play channel.
Ooh, what do the they dream play?
Animal Crossing.
I was going to say Animal Crossing!
Oh, that's so good.
Oh, he really likes
lots
the...
of bugs.
He really likes the fall Halloween update where you can get candy.
He keeps resetting his clock to the beginning of October. So he's just constantly in a state where he can just get candy. I have a question for you all.
Yes.
Are you ready for a 4-star reading?
Yes.
I'm super ready.
What we like to do at the end of each episode is we like to take various Dragon Ball characters and divine from them a birth date, usually depending on their manga debut date, and we read a little horoscope for them, see if there's some cool things the stars have to say. And this week, I want to visit a character we haven't seen in a while. It's Goten.
Hey.
Yeah. With a manga debut date of June 1st, 1993, he is one of our very few Geminis.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So, Goten, this is your reading. Do something for the community today and really consider how your talents and skills can best be put to work. Consider volunteering at a school or a library. Maybe consider donating blood. Whatever you do, smile knowing that you're making direct contact with those who need your help. Instead of just complaining about how the way things are going, take a proactive role in leading the way to a brighter tomorrow.
Beautiful.
help Mr. Satan save the city.
Yeah. And then have a nice ice cream date. Thank you all for listening to Destructo Discourse Good Time. We appreciate everyone who tunes in every week. Aaron, where can friends find you on the internet?
Well, I don't do much on the internet besides this, and sometimes I hop on the streams that you do.
For myself, I don't know why I'm doing this in a twang. That's not me. For myself, I stream on twitch.tv with the name JCABS, JAYCALVES. You'll usually find me every Wednesday, usually. But you can also use the name JCABS to find my Twitter and Instagram if you want to follow my socials. I don't really post a lot on there, so good luck. And Melissa?
I'm around on the internet under Kristaya, K-R-I-S-T-A-I-A, and I hop on those streams with you sometimes, too.
Yeah. Stream buds.
Yeah.
You can always email the show at destructodiscourse@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at destructo_disc, D-I-S-C. If you go to our Twitter page and head to the top pinned tweet, you'll find an invite to our Discord, our fan Discord, called the Destructo Discourse Discourse Discord, where you can meet up with other friends and share fan theories and fan art and memes. How I love memes.
It's so funny. It's a good place.
It is. It's a good time. It is a good time. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts or Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, maybe you get them through LiveJournal. I don't know what they've been up to. But either way, we would love it if you could leave us a rating and review. But specifically, a 4-star review, if you please. Because it's like the Gohan Ball, which is a unique, emblematic thing to this series.
And we do miss him, so...
We miss the Gohan so very much. Give us the Gohan.
Give us the Gohan.
Give us the Gohan.
Who wants to do outro this week?
I can do it.
I'll do it.
Oh. A battle. You go,
you can do
for
it.
Oh.
Ah! It's a nice off.
You look great today.
I really like your haircut.
You're the one with the haircut. I like your haircut.
Oh, you got me.
I am overriding this with a tiebreaker. I'll do the intro.
Oh. Okay.
This has been Destructo Discourse. And we're having a good time.
It was.
I'm sorry.
Don't you see that even when you're gone, I pray I'll get to see you.